I'd like now to welcome Stephen Powell. He is a cultural anthropologist and psychotherapist. He's author of the new book, Apocalyptic Grace, The Evolution of Culture and Consciousness. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So in this book, you talk about the four basic types of cultures that we human beings have known and invented so far, and corresponding types of psychology associated with each one: the hunter-gatherer, the horticultural, the agrarian, and the industrial. So coming from the point of view of a cultural anthropologist and looking at the archaeology and all of that stuff, how do you, obviously in the industrial you have the model that we are living in and the agrarian to some extent, but for things like the hunter-gatherer, how do you study the psychology of hunter-gatherers and figure out what their psychology was and so on?
Well, the idea being that even though these basic infrastructures have either been threatened or eliminated, our constitution, our physiology, our psychology doesn't go away, and that we are a rich layer cake of possibilities. And so that whereas most of the world is doing some kind of dance to the Yankee dollar, to the industrial world order, if we want to call it that, in fact, our inner sensibilities is very complex, and there's no one who is not culturally diverse. And when we look at the more ancient cultures, clearly they were more tribal, more egalitarian, in some ways more matriarchal. And this isn't to romanticize them. They were just simply more small scale, so there was a different dynamic that was going on.
When you say they, I mean, obviously there's so many different
Sure.
ancient cultures on every continent. All of them were matriarchal and egalitarian?
And those are broad words, and even to use the word matriarchal is kind of politically loaded. It's not as though women were running the show, but when we move into what I'm calling World 3, this is the move into hierarchy, into empire. Clearly there's a shift into more patriarchal type of value and hierarchical dominance. And yes, it's amazing. It's amazing, and this to me is the beauty of cultural anthropology, is that as complex and vast as history and culture has been, When you look at the basic nuts and bolts of culture, there hasn't been all that much variation, and there's been definitive shifts from these types of cultures that we're talking about. The other piece I bring into this book, and this is really kind of what set the fire under me to write this book, is that when we look at this whole kind of material now out around 2012 and the Native American prophecies, if you really investigate what they're calling worlds, It's precisely parallel to what cultural anthropology is calling the evolution of culture. So that truly we are coming into a kind of an end time. That's a Christian term, but clearly we're coming to the end of a pendulum swing in what we're calling the industrial world order, and we don't know what's going to come next, but what I'm suggesting is that it's about integrating all these types of cultures, all these types of sensibilities.
When you think about the four that you have so far, and you suggest a fifth way and a fifth world, the hunter-gatherer, the horticultural, agrarian, industrial, at their base, they're all about eating. They're all about how we eat, where we get our food.
Absolutely, and how we can translate that in modern terms is sustainability. So clearly that's what's on everybody's plate right now, that if we can unplug from the international socioeconomic, political world order, we can begin to live more how we want to. And it's not easy, because it really means reclaiming more ancient ways of having survived on this planet, but also integrating that with the modern. I don't know any of us who want to give up the three big C's, cells, cars, and computers. So
the first one, what?
Cells.
Of cell phones.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's really truly a dance about integrating these different worlds, and there's no one simple prescription for how the fifth world is going to look. I think it's each of our stories unfolding.
We're going to be speaking tomorrow with Eric Blindman, who's the director of the Office of Archaeological Studies for the state of New Mexico, and I've been looking at some of his work, and of course, climate change is nothing new. We've had many climate changes over the history of not only the planet, but even human civilizations have seen climate changes. And one of the great lessons that, according to him, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but that we need to take from this is, in order to have sustainability, you have to have pretty serious population reduction.
Well, it's interesting because, amazingly, we've sustained the populations that we have right now. So, and it's really not my forte, is really understanding sustainability from an economic perspective. really what I'm looking at is consciousness, and how do we move away from the individualism that, on the one hand, defines us and certainly gives us each our own sense of purpose, but also how do we manage hierarchy in a good way? How do we truly set up new definitions of tribe and community that will work for us? And a lot of it is a consciousness shift because we have been so individualistically oriented.
It would take too much time to go into this in great depth, but just in a kind of thumbnail way, when you talk about the psychological remnants of the or realities of the four types of cultures that you describe in your book and the way they play out in our lives, what about our current lives is hunter-gatherer, for example?
And I can go briefly through this. It won't take too long. It's kind of, you know, my whole work in a nutshell. But if you look at World One, this was our connection to the natural world. And we all feel and have that, from our pets to being in nature. But it also is what Joseph Campbell called Journey of the Hero. We see this we see this basic structure of myth and ritual in which we were trying to find our own purpose, our sense of archetypal identity that was universal. And that doesn't go away. It looks different in the modern world, but we are all on some kind of vision quest. As we shift into World Two, clearly, and becoming farmers, we are much more group-oriented. And so, therefore, our ceremonies are as well, and they're really how well we work together as a group. And so much of the catharsis that we see, let's say, in Pueblo ritual or in indigenous ritual, which is group-oriented, comes out of that. And I'll suggest so much of that still shows up in subculture. I know when I go to a rock and roll concert, I feel like I'm in a tribe. And so that, to me, is a World Two kind of consciousness. World Three is fascinating because this is the rise of empire. There's a kind of alienation and suffering that happens on the planet that hadn't ever happened before. Literally, your DSM-4 manual could have been written right here. A lot of dysfunction and mental illness. And we have kind of a groundswell of global wisdom traditions that are trying to account for this, what is being called the axial period of history, in which sages from around the world are trying to help us cultivate a consciousness that can deal with this alienation. This is eventually what ends up in the world religions, so it gets a bit confusing because the world religions end up being a part of the very hierarchies they were originally critiquing. So you're not sure whether you're getting it coming or going. But the idea is that there are these rich consciousness movements from the Upanishads to Buddhism to both the Old and New Testaments and Greek explorations of consciousness. We can go around the world with this, that really try to address the suffering individual. And then finally, you know, World Three turns into kind of a theocratic nightmare on the European continent, and that's the Inquisition. And whereas Worlds One, Two, and Three evolve in all continents around the world, World Four is distinctly European and what eventually becomes Euro-American. And this was the attempt to bust out of theocracy, and this was the stab at democracy, even though I think we're still trying...
So the Enlightenment.
Yeah, and we're still trying to find out, you know, how that's really going to play itself out. And clearly there was pluses and minuses to that. Pluses is we start taking control of choosing our own destiny individually, but also we see capitalism become a whole new other kind of hierarchy that is now collapsing, I believe. So we're searching for some other infrastructure.
And there are many ways of speculating about what's next, and certainly many people are engaged in that. The book is called Apocalyptic Grace, The Evolution of Culture and Consciousness by Stephen Powell. Stephen Powell, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.